to see today. We thank you very much for being here. We have several visitors. We welcome each one and are glad that you're with us and hope you can come back tonight at 6 o'clock as we meet again to worship God. And I invite everyone to get your Bible and join us in a study this morning of God's Word. We are convinced and committed to the principle of truth that God has revealed Himself in a Word that we can read, understand, believe, and follow in our lives to receive from God eternal blessings. And if you're not a Christian today, we want to encourage you to become one. We want you to simply follow the Bible pattern of how to be saved. Jesus in His Word has taught us how to be saved. He's not only taught us what He did for our salvation, but He calls upon us to believe that He is the Son of God and to repent of our sins against God, to confess that Jesus is Lord and be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. These simple steps of faith are the beginning of a new life in Christ, to be born again of water and the Spirit, to then live in faith from this day forward as a child of God, a disciple of Jesus. And so, if you're not saved according to the Bible, we hope that you will commit yourself even today to become a child of God, to be saved in Christ. And as a Christian, to commit ourselves to faithful living before Him. And if we sin, we have an advocate with our Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who teaches us to confess our sins because He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if there's sin in our lives as Christians, let us commit ourselves to repentance and confessing that sin to God in prayer. And He has promised His cleansing, His forgiveness, and our standing again in fellowship with Him. The call of the gospel says that we must proclaim this message. We're going to talk today about proclaiming Christ to an unbelieving world. Of course, preaching is not just to the unbelieving world. We also preach to the church. Romans 1 and verse 15, Paul said, "I'm ready to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome," writing to the Christians. So the message of the gospel goes to saint and sinner. It goes to the believer and the unbeliever. It goes to the whole world. And yet, unfortunately, there are many things that are preached today, proclaimed or announced, published abroad, that simply are not the Bible, that simply are not the message of salvation that was revealed through the apostles and proclaimed by the apostles of Jesus. And we must be able to distinguish the difference. Amen. We cannot simply be complacent and content with messages that are foreign to the Word of God. That bears directly upon what we will be saying today, is preaching today from the Scriptures. Because you see, Bible preaching is not creedal preaching. When we preach the Bible, we do not preach a creed that men hundreds of years ago gathered together and decided to write down and say, this is going to define who we are as Christians. No, Jude said to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. The delivered faith is the sufficient source of preaching. That's what Bible preaching is. Bible preaching is not preaching a creed and committing people to a creed. Bible preaching is not testimonial preaching either. Paul said, "We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus." 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. Anyone who proclaims from this pulpit themselves is not preaching Jesus. And whoever does that from any other pulpit is not preaching Jesus. Bible preaching is not testimonial, not telling you about something that happened to me or you. It's telling us about what God has done for us and what He commands of us and expects of us to receive the blessings He offers to us in His Son. Bible preaching is not preaching philosophy and traditions. In Colossians 2 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul said to beware. He said to be on guard. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. Bible preach is not preaching church tradition. It's not saying, well, we've done it this way for so long. This is what is expected of us. This is what we do in our church. That's not Bible preaching. He said to beware of the traditions, the things that men hand down through the ages, and the philosophies that they develop as a part of their outlook and their approach. No, that's when we preach philosophy, we're not preaching the Bible. When we preach traditions of men, we're not preaching the Bible. Now, there's apostolic tradition, but that's very different from the traditions of men. And an examination of the two makes that abundantly clear. To preach the Bible means that we're not preaching to please men. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4, Paul said, We have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, and even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. It is God who tries and knows our hearts, and we preach to please Him. Bible preaching is not preaching the message that we know people want to hear. It's preaching the message that comes from God that we need to hear. Bible preaching is not partial preaching. That is, it's not just taking a part of what the Scriptures say. But as in Acts 20 and verse 27, Paul said, I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Bible preaching will take everything that God says as important and needed in our day and in our lives. Gospel preaching, Bible preaching is not preaching human wisdom. We think rather highly of ourselves. We're tempted to do that. That's called pride. And we're tempted with pride. But Bible preaching eliminates that. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, Paul said, since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. The message preached, the gospel preaching, is not preaching the wisdom of the world. It's not preaching the wisdom of man. It's preaching the wisdom and the power of God. That's the kind of preaching we need, but quite honestly, Bible preaching is in short supply today. It's not a new phenomenon. Bible preaching, God's Word being preached, was in short supply in Jeremiah's day. 600 plus years before Jesus was born. In Jeremiah 6, in verse 13, God's prophet said, because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. The prophet was dealing falsely. The priests were dealing falsely with the people of God, driven by covetousness, not convertedness. They have only healed slightly the hurt of my people, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No. They were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, that you will find, and then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. You see, in Jeremiah's day, there were very few who wanted to hear the thus saith the Lord. No, they wanted to hear that which came from their own covetousness, that which appeased the people at the expense of their very lives, as their abomination was bringing God's punishment upon them in the form of the Babylonian armies. All of that typifying that when we ignore thus saith the Lord today in our lives, we set ourselves up for eternal condemnation. Bible preaching is in short supply. In Jeremiah 14, 11 and 16, there's a passage that in which God exposes the false prophets. He said, I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence, that is, His people. Because you see, in fact, He told Jeremiah, don't pray for this people. Can you imagine that? They had fallen so deep in sin, and Jeremiah said, don't pray for these people. Their fate is sealed as a nation. They are going to be punished. And Jeremiah said, oh Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, you shall not see the sword. You shall not have famine. I'll give you assured peace in this place. There's the prosperity gospel of Jeremiah's day. You know, the gospel that Paula White and Joel Osteen and a lot of other people preach today, that God's going to prosper you. That's what the false prophets were saying in Jeremiah's day. Because that's what the people wanted to hear. God said, look at verse 14. Here's what the Lord said. The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I've not sent them, commanded them, spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, worthless thing, the deceit of their own heart. And that's really the problem with not preaching the Bible and preaching all these other things, creeds and traditions and testimonials and philosophies and traditions and human wisdom, is it's coming out of people's heart, not from God's Word. Bible preaching in short supply. You see, in Timothy's day, Bible preaching was in short supply. He told him to preach the Word, didn't he? He said, you're under charge from God to preach the Word, but the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But having itching ears, they'll heap to themselves teachers after their own lusts, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to fables. How many people, for century upon century upon century since, have turned aside from the simple gospel truth to the fables of men because it was pleasing to them, because it satisfied them where they were rather than committing them to drastic change in their lives, reformation and conversion, repentance and changing who they were into what God wants them to be? Now, it takes Bible preaching to do that. That's God's selection. God chose the preaching of the message to save those who believe. 1 Corinthians 1:21. We didn't think up Bible preaching. It wasn't thought up 150 years ago by Alexander Campbell or somebody else, Barton Stone or anybody else in the so-called Restoration Movement. No, this is at the core of apostolic teaching of the first century apostles of Jesus Christ, what they spoke and what they wrote. No doubt the Bible says that increased lawlessness has produced a love for the truth. Love grows cold for truth. Matthew 24, 1 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12. When we don't love truth, we will love that which is less than truth. And we will reap eternal sin, eternal punishment for that sin. We must be people who continue to preach. We've entitled our lesson, Preach On. We must continue to preach what God wants preached, because it is the proclamation of the message He wants preached that will save our souls. Because not merely in the proclamation, but in allowing that message to have its place in our heart and in our lives, to shape and mold us into the very people God wants us to be, and that we can be if we will follow His will. Preach the Word. See, here's what we need to preach. Keep preaching. Preach the Word. 2 Timothy 4:2. Be urgent in season or out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You've got to preach the Word of God. Now, the Word of God, let's take a minute here to remind ourselves that when we talk about preaching the Bible, that it is the verbally inspired Word of God. In other words, it is the very words that God chose to give us. And that's why we are careful with the Word of God in our study and in our following of it. There was a survey Gallup did just a month ago, came out with just a month ago, that said, for the first time in the 40 years that they've been tracking this, there are now less than those who believe the Bible is a verbally inspired Word of God in America is less than those who don't. who don't believe it at all. 24% of the Bible, no, but 24% of those questioned believe the Bible is the verbally inspired Word of God. That's the lowest in Gallup's 40-year trend. Keeps going down. Fewer and fewer people believe the Bible is really the words of God. Now, 26% said they believe the Bible is a collection of stories and history. That's up from 21% in 2014. It's risen 5%. It rose 5% in about 3 years. So there's less commitment to it as the Word of God, and more deceived that it's just a lot of stories. Now, the rest of the folks say, well, yeah, it's the inspired Word of God, but not verbally. I mean, we can't take everything that's in the Bible as the Word of God. Well, now, you see, so this issue, it centers on, is the Bible verbally inspired, or did God just give them thoughts that kind of that they then develop themselves? That's what most people think. That God just gave the apostles these thoughts, these good thoughts. And Jeremiah, he gave these good thoughts and they wrote them down. But they're not actually the words of God. They're the words of Jeremiah, or they're the words of Paul. Well, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So what kind of inspiration? Which kind? Well, you know, thus saith the Lord is used over 2,000 times in the Old Testament. Thus says the Lord. In fact, we read it in Jeremiah 6. Now, if the Lord didn't say it, didn't that make Jeremiah a liar? Thus says Adrian. Thus and so. But if he didn't say it, it was really my thoughts of what I think he would say. I haven't told the truth about Adrian, have I? I've misled people. Now that seems rather simple these days to us, but these days you wonder. Thus says the Lord. So the Bible commits itself to verbal inspiration. This is what the Lord Himself says. Do we believe it? Really? Do we really believe they are His words? That'll be reflected in how we handle the Bible, won't it? See, in Jeremiah 1, God told Jeremiah when He commissioned him to be a prophet, I will put My word on your tongue. He didn't say, I'll put My thought in your heart. He said, I'll put My word on your tongue and you'll speak it. That's verbal inspiration. In Zechariah 7 and verse 12, of the Old Testament prophets, it says, they refused to listen. The people refused to listen. They refused to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent by His Spirit through the former prophets. God sent words by His Spirit through the prophets. Not thoughts, words. He gave them the words. In Acts 1 verse 16. When Peter referred to the Psalms that David wrote, look how he said it. Acts 1 and verse 16. He said, men and brethren, this Scripture had to be fulfilled. Now, here's the Scripture. Where did it come from? Which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas. The Holy Spirit spoke it by David's mouth. Didn't say the Holy Spirit gave a thought to David's head, to David's mind. He said the Holy Spirit spoke it by David's mouth. That's words. That's words. 2 Corinthians 2 and 13, they spoke words that the Spirit taught them to speak. 1 Corinthians 2:13, the apostles. So, and these are just some of the verses. There are many others. The Bible is a verbally inspired Word of God. Even when more than two-thirds of Americans say it's not, it still is. It always has been. And that's what we're going to preach. That's what we must preach. You see, that demands, when we will accept and believe what the Bible says about its inspiration, that will demand from us our utmost respect and obedience. If it's just a man's thought, then that's no better than my thoughts. But if it's the very words of God, that demands my attention. You see, 1 Thessalonians 2, 13 and 14, for my reading this morning, Paul said, When you received the Word of God, which you heard from me, you welcomed it, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Now look what happened. They heard what Paul preached. They received what Paul preached. They welcomed it. They believed it and were persuaded by it. It's Acts 17, you read about that happening. Why? Because it's not the words of men, it was the Word of God. It still is. When we preach what Paul preached, it's the Word of God. Not the Word of men. Not the Word of the Church of Christ. Not the Word of a creed that was decided long ago. Not the Word of a tradition that was passed down from generation to generation. It's the Word of God. That's what we must preach. Watch it. They're called holy. The Holy Scriptures in 2 Timothy 3:15. That demands respect. The sacred Scriptures. These are writings not of man. They're God's writings. That make one. He said the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures would make Timothy wise unto salvation through faith in Christ. And he says all Scriptures give him inspiration of God. These writings are God's writings of God's words. And they save those who obey them. 1 Peter 1, 22-25. He said, seeing you purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. And then in verse 25 he says, and this, talking about this truth, he says, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. When we preach their truth, it's the word of the gospel that they preached. It's God's word. That's what we have to preach, brethren. When we don't do that, we shouldn't call ourselves gospel preachers. We shouldn't call ourselves people of the book. We shouldn't call ourselves people who preach God when we're not preaching His Word. Now let's go a little farther. In Acts 8 and verse 35, we find out that we're supposed to preach Jesus. Because you see in Acts 8 and 35, Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this Scripture. Scripture that had been inspired by God. The words God wanted Isaiah to say is the reference here. And from this Scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul preached Jesus. Philip preached Jesus. And you look in this text in 32 through 34, he preached Scripture. To preach Scriptures means we're going to preach Jesus. When we stop preaching Scriptures, we've stopped preaching Jesus. Just not going to be able to do it. If we don't preach the Scriptures, we're not preaching Jesus. When Philip preached Jesus, he started at this Scripture. Now, there's some preachers today, you hardly hear Scripture at all when they preach. Now how can that be? And be consistent with preaching Jesus? Because it's the Scriptures that contain what we need to know about Jesus. He fulfilled prophecy. Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies that were made hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before His life. Speaking to and demonstrating the accuracy of the Scriptures and prophetic reality that Jesus is the fulfillment, that He is the Son of God. Back up in verses 4 and 5, and note with me that when you preach Jesus, you preach His Word. They therefore were scattered, went everywhere preaching the Word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Did they preach two different things? They were preaching the Word, and he preached Christ. Is that two different things? No, that's the same thing. You know, there's some today who say, well, when you preach Jesus, you preach the life and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus and the ascension of Jesus. That's preaching Jesus. Tell us about Jesus. But no, you see, there's more to Jesus than that. You got to preach all of His Word, the whole counsel of God. It's a lot more to Jesus than His life and His death and His resurrection. You got to preach all of it. And the Word does that. When we preach Scripture, when we preach Jesus, we preach Scripture. And if we're not preaching Scripture, we're not preaching Jesus. Now, look at verse 6. The multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. They heeded, they obeyed what Philip said. They obeyed the Word. Can you obey Jesus and not obey His Word? According to this passage in Acts 8, 4, 5, and 6, it is only when we obey His Word that we are obeying Jesus, that we're following Jesus. Can't do it any other way. Then we end up following tradition or wisdom of man, you see, or creeds of men or the philosophies of men. It's only when we obey the Word that we're actually obeying Jesus. See how He is inseparably connected to His Word. The Ethiopian learned salvation this way. You know, that's how he learned that he needed to be saved, is Philip preached Jesus to him from the Scriptures. Now look what he learned. He learned he was a sinner. He learned about sin from the Scriptures that taught about Jesus. He learned there's a Savior, the Son of God. In fact, he learned Jesus is the Son of God from what Philip preached him. Because verse 37, he said, Philip told him, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can be baptized. So from the Scriptures that preach Jesus, we can learn He's the Son of God. The Ethiopian did. He learned about the salvation that's in Christ. And he learned about how to be saved. He learned he needed to be baptized to be saved. Because he came upon the water and he said, well, there's water. What's keeping me from being baptized? And you preach Jesus from the Scriptures. You preach who He is. You preach what He makes available. And you preach what God expects of you and me and the whole world. You see, that's what we need to be preaching. We've got to preach Jesus. And you cannot refuse to obey Jesus' Word and be saved. We cannot say we're saved without obeying this Word that is preached when we preach Jesus. Though He was a Son, yet He learned obedience. He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. Jesus learned obedience. He obeyed the Father's will. He learned what obedience was all about. When it was hard. When it was hard for us to obey. Him to obey. He obeyed. You see, when it's hard for us to obey, we've got to obey. Because that's what obedience is about. When it's not our will, but it's God's will, we obey. Because you see, that's what obedience is about. Jesus learned those things about obedience. And having been made perfect, the perfect sacrifice for our sins, He became the author of eternal salvation to all those who, watch it, to all those who obey Him. If we don't obey Jesus the way Jesus obeyed the Father, we're still lost in our sins. This is how we preach Jesus. We've got to keep preaching Jesus, the Jesus of the Scriptures, the Jesus who can save our souls and will save our souls. When we will put our faith in Him and obey Him as He put His faith in the Father and obeyed the Father. Brethren, there's a lot more I need to say. Now, I can keep preaching till noon and beyond. Because we need to get back to Bible preaching. I'm going to stop right here because I don't want to just keep pouring and you lose the focus. We'll preach more on this when I return. I'll be out of town next Lord's Day, but we're going to keep talking about things we need to preach. Here's the fundamental point. You see, there are a lot of messages out in the world that sound good. And they are soothing. And they are comforting. I mean, it's like scratching that itch. It really feels good. But they don't save our souls. As in the days of Jeremiah, peace, peace, when there is no peace. A message that says that you're saved from your sins by prayer. Just receive Jesus into your heart as your personal Savior and He'll save you. That's not the Bible teaching on how to be saved. Bless your heart, that's the traditions of men. It's good to receive Jesus, but how do we do that? The Bible said to the Ethiopian, Philip said, well, you need to believe He's the Son of God. And as he indicated, you need to be baptized. That's what Jesus said. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be condemned. Because you see, when we don't believe, we're condemned. When we have no faith, we're lost. But if you want to be saved, you want to hear the preaching of the Word, you want to hear the proclamation of Jesus, and believe He's the Son of God, and be baptized. Now, Jesus also proclaimed, we need to repent of our sins. He said, I tell you, except you repent, you'll likewise perish. We've got to change our heart towards sinning against God. If we don't change our heart, anything we do just becomes an outward action. But there's no without a change of the heart, then how can there be conversion? So the Bible says, repent therefore and be converted. That is, repent and be baptized. The point of change. We've got to change our hearts and then be converted. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? If you do, then follow the Bible pattern on how to be saved. How they were in the first century. Not by aligning themselves after a creed or a tradition, or a philosophy or an emotion or a testimonial, but in faith, repenting of their sins and being baptized for the remission of those sins. By the blood of Jesus Christ, those sins were washed away and they're raised to walk in new life, added by the Lord to His church, His body of redeemed ones, to then be a disciple of His. We urge you to be saved today. Allow the Lord to save you. He wants to, but you have to act in faith to do His will. But if you're a Christian and you've done those things, but sin has come back into your life, you've made the wrong choices, understand there's forgiveness available for you. If you'll repent, Acts 8, 22 through 24, if you'll confess your sin, 1 John 1, 9, He's ready and faithful to forgive our sins and cleanse us, Christians, from unrighteousness. The call of the gospel can only be made if we preach the gospel. You see, when we preach the gospel, it's the call of the gospel that is God's call. It's God's call. Won't you be saved by Him? Won't you respond? He's calling you. Won't you do that now? All together we stand and we sing.